The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, imagine buying your first home and within months, the property next door is broken into by squatters who simply will not leave. Our reporter Josh Crosby joins me now and he's met a Dublin resident who's living with this nightmare. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's happening?
Okay, so this is a terraced house in Dublin's north side, not far from the city centre at all. I agreed with the residents, I wouldn't name the street, but from what I can gather, this two-storey house has been on the derelict sites register since 2016. Locals in the area believe the house has been lying empty for over 20 years since the previous owner died. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot of activity around the property in that time. I was told there was someone keeping check on it who knew it was derelict, but was just keeping an eye on it, let's say, for God knows what reason. But in August of last year, a group of young men broke into the house and claimed it as their own. They went around at the time introducing themselves to residents as squatters, saying the government had failed in housing and this is the action they now take. When this initially happened, the residents say they actually weren't too frustrated, surprisingly. They felt sorry for them in a way. But that soon changed when more and more people started to arrive and when the squatters are said to have hooked into the electrical mains. I called into the house of the man who was living right next door. And remember, Pat, these are terraced houses. So his front door is literally feet away from the house that's been taken over. This man's from the west of Ireland. He's been living in Dublin on and off for around 20 years. He'd been bidding on houses for 5 years. And he thought he'd finally found the home of his dreams. Take a listen.
I got the keys to this in February 2023. And a couple of months after that, the house that I live beside, which is a derelict site, was broken into by a group of squatters and pretty much a nightmare scenario started from that moment.
And as you were house hunting and you were looking around viewing properties, how did you feel about buying into an area where there was a derelict property in a close proximity?
To be fair, I wasn't really that fazed by it. It was more probably because, you know, in a way, I was delighted to get a house. This was an absolute dream.
A derelict house, maybe a bit of an eyesore, but you were just so happy to get your own keys.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an absolute dream. I mean, but the house I bought is lovely. It's a beautiful house.
The happiness soon changed when you realised that you were going to have new neighbours, if you want to call them neighbours.
Yeah, so it was a few months after. But at the beginning of August, I got a knock on the door. They were holding a chocolate cake with the number of my house in chocolate buttons. They introduced themselves as squatters. They said they have broken into the property beside me and the property is now their property.
What was your initial reaction when you heard this?
It was shock, absolute shock. I was probably quite naive about this because, you know, these were 17, 18 year olds. I didn't think at that point how dangerous this was about to come. And it was very unnerving those first few weeks, particularly because this is a derelict site. A part of the upstairs that I was able to see has caved in. To think that people would live in it was quite shocking to me. But naively, I was probably a little nearly worried for them. But that changed very quickly because of the other people who followed them. And that's when things started to get very dangerous.
So that's one of the residents living next to a house taken over by squatters in Dublin. He says things started to get dangerous. So what happened next?
Well, the whole idea of safety when it comes to living in a property that has been vacant for over 20 years is obviously at the core of the residents' concerns. So the structural integrity of the building is actually starting to show. In this man's house, you can see cracks have appeared on his walls. He says this is since the squatters moved in. He believes they might be supporting their floor to his joists because there's been drilling and hammering that's been going on that has resulted in his floorboards moving. Then a big one that this man is particularly concerned about is the fire hazard risk being posed by the squatters cutting into the electrical mains. He's had to ring ESB crews 9 times and on at least 5 occasions they've come out to remove the makeshift electrical connections. We heard there how this all started, but let's take a listen to what this man says he's been going through since August.
The noises from the property can be quite nightmarish. They've taken it on themselves to renovate it. Number one, obviously, was cutting into the mains electrics. I've had the guards numerous times in this. Unfortunately, they call it a civil matter. So I can't do anything.
But hooking into the mains, that's obviously a fire hazard then as well, if an uncertified, unqualified person
Absolutely.
Is doing it.
Yeah, so that is a huge one. I mean, that could cause electrical fire and it could impact a number of houses. Very recently, we had the fire brigade out. The fire brigade had to go into the squatters. The guy from the fire brigade had mentioned that. He said, that's like a matchstick. That's how serious all of this is. My understanding is there is no electricity currently in the house. every time they repair the damage, the squatters will just cut back in. They've drilled through the brick. On St. Stephen's Day, they tried to drill into my fuse box. It's relentless.
They're right next door. What are the interactions like? Because surely you bump into each other as you're walking in the front gate? Or...
Yeah, there is no interactions now. Let me put it this way. I'm laughed at. They grin and they smile when they see me. It's the side of it that really annoys me about this community, because what's happening at the moment is so severe. And if you laugh at somebody who's, you know, they just bought a house, it's meant to be a really happy time, that says a lot about a person. You could not interact further with them anymore.
So you've described what it's been like, the different incidents that have taken place with the emergency workers coming out here, but how has it been for you then, the actual emotional toll this can take?
Look, I haven't moved into my house yet. The house is exactly as it was the day I bought it. This couch, everything you're seeing now, was bought before they arrived. Nothing else, half my rooms are empty. And I have to wait till they're gone, because I know anything that I look to buy, well, it'll burn down. Anything that I'd like to bring up from my family home, I don't want that to burn. And that is the reality of this. As in, I'm, you know, I don't know what else proof that I need to provide. And I have provided a significant amount of proof of the dangers of what's happening next door. But yeah, I mean, I'm worried about my work.
But even laying your head on the pillow at night, going to sleep, not knowing who or what is next door.
Absolutely. Oh no, terrific. Terrific, yeah. What I'm not getting used to is the constant smell of cannabis. It's just every day. Breakfast, lunch and dinner, all you smell is cannabis. And when you wake up at 2 a.m, the first thing I do is I smell the air. Is it smoke? You know, the amount of times that's happened and, you know, is somebody controlling that fire? It's not good for your health. It impacts us all. I don't see an end in sight at this moment.
You're not going investing in decorating your home, which you should be doing.
Oh, no. Yeah, nothing. You know, I spent Christmas here. I spent Christmas on my own here. And the only reason, it was too dangerous. I didn't want to go away and the property burned down.
That sounds absolutely horrendous. And even worse, how has this been allowed to continue? I mean, what do the authorities say about all of this?
Well, right now it's in the hands of An Bord Pleanála. Dublin City Council is trying to compulsory acquire the house under the Derelict Sites Act. This was lodged in September and a decision was due from An Bord Pleanála 2 weeks ago today. But unfortunately for the residents, this has been delayed due to a backlog of cases. It's now hoped this will be determined before the 18th of June. The council has just told me now, minutes before coming on air, that assuming it is granted, it will move to secure the premises and undertake a conditioned survey which will inform future plans. But when it comes to the Gard EPAT, because one would naturally assume you'd be removed from a property like this if you broke in. Let's say if you or I decided to move into a house that we liked in the morning but we didn't own it, I don't know how long we'd last, but it seems this crowd has been able to identify properties that are tied up in transfer decisions and red tape, but they have a bit more wiggle room. I contacted the guards about this yesterday and they said derelict properties do not fall within their remit, but if they receive a complaint in relation to trespassing, they respond, and that a complaint needs to be made by the registered owner of a property in order for the Gardaí to respond.
Now, the Gardaí have been out to the property. Did you try to speak to the squatters yourself?
I did, Pat. And look, you know, I've covered many housing issues in the past, from the impact dereliction can have on a town to the different efforts being made to bring vacant buildings back into use. And I would have met with activists who've, let's say, taken over buildings in Dublin before. They'd usually be trying to create awareness for some cause and they'd go under the banner of some housing movement slogan or name. But this particular group is taking a different approach. They're staying to themselves. They don't seem to want to draw attention. So I knocked on the door of the house last week. There was no answer. I went away for a while, then knocked again and still no luck. So I left a little note in the letterbox, this time explaining what I was doing, and I left contact details, but still nothing. So I returned again on Monday this week. A man did answer the door. Now, when I say answer the door, he slightly peeked his head out and I said I was doing a piece for the radio. Would he have a quick chat? Yada, yada, yada. Now, he said they had read my note, but they've decided they weren't going to speak. I asked again, trying to persuade him, as you do, and he said he'd have to check and ask a few people. Now, to be honest, Pat, the impression I got was that there was someone calling the shots on how they react to all this and the things that need to kind of maybe filter back through a leader of the group in some way. But to hear from a local representative in the area, I met with Clontarf councillor Deirdre Heaney, who's been supporting the residents with this, and I asked her if this type of action is starting to become a wider issue with derelict properties.
Well, this is the first experience that I have had where somebody has taken over a property and taken up, you know, a situation where they're squatting in the property. But it is a very, very upsetting experience for people who are living close by.
And how was it allowed to happen?
Well, in fairness, it's a situation where the city, Dublin City Council has identified this property that has been vacant for quite some time now, identified it as a property that it wants to acquire lawfully under the Derelict Sites Act. So the City Council issued a notice of intent to acquire this property. Unfortunately, there was an objection to that acquisition. So the property stays or remains as is until such time as the matter is dealt with by An Bord Pleanála. The City Council has to apply for consent to acquire the property to An Bord Pleanála. And I suppose the delay in acquiring it or in processing this particular case lies currently now with An Bord Pleanála.
And as a local representative, what are you doing to try and resolve the issue?
Well, I'm continuing to make representations to the City Council management to try and see can we get the process moving quicker. I suppose it's out of the hands of Dublin City Council now, so I have been in contact with An Bord Pleanála, and An Bord Pleanála has responded to say that due to the backlog of cases awaiting decisions, a decision on this particular case has been pushed out further.
Some people might view this as activism and that it's a way to highlight the housing crisis and maybe put action onto derelict properties, but the people living nearby are at their wits' end. So how do you go about preventing this from happening?
Well, there is a new scheme now introduced by government, and Dublin City Council is managing that scheme. It's the vacant property scheme, and that is, I suppose, a very positive way to deal with the issue of vacant properties.
You don't think this is the way to be going about it, to highlight the issue?
Absolutely not. It's making life very difficult. It's completely unacceptable that this type of behaviour would be inflicted on people who are trying their best to live a reasonably decent quality of life in their homes. So no, absolutely not. This is not the way to deal with such a thing.
And that's Fianna Fáil Councillor Deirdre Heaney ending that report from Josh Crosby.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.